I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, welcome back to an all-new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. Of course, I am Jared Haben, joined always somewhere in the world by Dean Unglert. We have a great episode coming up. We have an amazing guest slash co-host this week. Because, you know, it's the holiday season, the more the merrier. You know her from her time on The Bachelor franchise, both on Nick Viall's season of The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise, of course, a couple times. It is the amazing, the beautiful Angela Amasqua. Did I say that correctly?
You did. You got it. I'm so proud of you.
I should be. I tried it before so the listeners can... I said Amasqua. I don't know. I'm terrible with names. I can't even pronounce
everybody
my
butchers
own name.
It. Yeah, everybody butchers it. It's fine.
I really just blame Rhode Island for my lack of ability to pronounce words. It's quite depressing. It's the Rhode Island school system. I love my home state so much, but I'm very stupid. And
you know,
I blame them.
You know what they say, Jared? It's a poor carpenter that blames his tools, right?
Yeah. I have no shame saying that I'm a poor carpenter. And I blame my tools anytime I can. So first of all, Angela, of course, everybody knows you're from the Bachelor franchise, but how are you? What's going on in your life?
I'm good. You know, I'm trying to just survive 2020 like everybody else. I have stayed healthy so far, so that's a blessing, and that's basically like everyone's main goal in life right now, I think. So I feel like we are living in a movie. It's really weird. And I'm like everyone else, just ready for it to be over, even though I'm sure it's not going to be anytime soon. I've been trying to stay busy, stay healthy, and stay sane. You know, I've been working as much
as
I can.
Join the club on that one.
I know. I've been trying to work as much as I can, but like my job, it's basically being around people with modeling, you know? So it's been, my life has been scaled back way more than I'm used to, because before COVID, I was always on a plane, like literally a couple times, like a month, if not more. And it's just been kind of weird to stay stagnant for a while, but I'm enjoying it also to, you know.
How's that been going, by the way? Yes. So you are a model. So how do you do that remotely? Because you said you still have work, which is good.
Yeah, it's just, and it's only been in the last couple of months. You know, it's just things are, I'm sure you guys know, because you're also in like the industry, quote, the industry. So things are starting to ramp back up. You know, it's more like you just get tested before, people are, you know, wearing masks and the shields, and you're trying to distance as much as you can. You just, you know, working with what we have, but I missed it, that's for sure. I'm such an extrovert that like I hate not being around people. So, you know, quarantine especially has been a little bit difficult for me.
You're quarantining in Chicago? Is that where you live?
South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina. why did I think Chicago? You did live in Chicago for a bit, right?
I mean, I basically did. I never officially, but
okay,
pretty much, yeah.
So South Carolina. What part of South Carolina?
It's like upstate South Carolina. So I'm about an hour and a half to Charlotte and then 2 hours to Atlanta. So it actually works out really good because, you know, a lot of my bookings will be in Charlotte or Atlanta or sometimes around here, and I can just jet there in a day and come back. So it's like a good landing spot for me.
South Carolina is where the Notebook House is, right?
Yeah, so that's in Charleston. Charleston's like 3 hours away. So I'm more kind of inland, which is unfortunate because I'm such a beach, like ocean girl. And I would love to live on the ocean, but I kind of been like in the mood the last couple of years thinking like, all right, I think I've had my chapter here. I'm ready to move. But I just, everything for me, I'm kind of one of those, like, I want everything to fall into place and for it to feel right. I never want to force anything. And so, and then COVID hit. And I was just like, whatever, we'll see what happens.
I've been to two places in South Carolina, Hilton Head and Myrtle Beach, and they both were fabulous.
You liked Myrtle Beach. I'm shocked.
Well, I have family that lives out there, and I visited a couple times in my teens. So I guess through those glasses.
Yeah. As a teenager, Myrtle Beach is kind of like, anymore. But no, Hilton Head is gorgeous. I really love Hilton Head because it's more remote. It's not as touristy. And whenever I'm at the beach, I don't want to be around everybody. I just want to relax and chill and not be bothered.
You said something that was pretty interesting to me, Angela, which was you are the type of person that needs to wait until everything falls into place before you can actually make a significant move. And it's interesting because I want you to talk to Dean about that, because I feel like Dean's the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And I feel like somewhere in the middle of your two is where I'm at.
Yeah.
So, but before we get into that conversation, of course, we're a dating podcast. So let's just get to the dirt of things. What's going on in your dating life?
What is going on in my dating life? Well, I mean, I'm not wifed up officially, obviously.
Officially?
I'm just like...
Interesting way of phrasing it.
Okay, let me rephrase that then. I'm not wifed up. I am dating. I am having fun. I'm enjoying talking to different individuals. But I'm not like official. What I mean is I'm not officially in a relationship. I'm
single. Right. Gotcha.
So that is where your girl is at. I'm talking to people.
Oh, so you're like the bachelorette right now. You're in your final two.
No, I'm just like, well, and COVID sucks because it's obviously hard to date during COVID, you know? So
yeah.
Oh, it's impossible.
Yeah, like you guys are lucky because you have somebody to just like chill with all the time. I'm like, this sucks.
Right. Lots of Netflix.
Well, and Angela, I got to say too, everything you say here, this is a safe space. We have probably like a dozen listeners every single week. So
maybe
the odds of anyone, you know, listening to this podcast are slim to none.
Okay.
So I just want to make that clear, you know, that you can share things and you're not going to get in trouble for anything, you know?
Yeah, you guys are so unpopular, let me tell you.
Well, it's just the three of us here.
Yeah. This is just a passion project at this point, you know? So
it's like I said,
it's just a safe space. So these guys that you're dating, and again, we'll try to remain as like ambiguous as you prefer, but did you meet them before quarantine? Is it like an ongoing relationship via like just texting, Zoom, or what's kind of been the process? Because, you know, like you said, quarantining, it's kind of like you want to maintain some sanity. And I think by maintaining sanity, you have to maintain some normalcy in your life.
Right.
And so you want to date as normal as possible. So what's kind of been your like way about doing that?
So, I mean, yeah, it's just a lot of FaceTiming, texting, like phone conversations. And then I've had a few like in real life dates that have been like safe, you know, COVID friendly.
Yeah.
And it's just so awkward because it's like before you know, go on a date, you're like, hey, have you been tested? Like, it's like an STD or something. But
yeah.
Just to be in someone's presence, it's so awkward. And then it's like you go on this date and it's like if it's your first date or whatever, you have to wear this mask and it's just embarrassing. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like it's such a weird new thing, you know? So I've got a lot of FaceTiming. I've had in-person dates. So it's just a mix. But obviously, like the in-person dates aren't as frequent as like, the FaceTime and texting.
A friend of mine went on a first date with this guy and she was like saying that she's going to do everything safe and it's going to be fine. They went to a bar, they were social distancing. And then she was like, then we had a couple drinks and then we made out at the end of the night. And it's like, that worked out well, huh?
Oh no, that's what I mean. It's like before you go on a date, you're like, hey, have you been tested in the last couple of dates? Like what? You know, it's just like, you don't know this person. You're asking them about their personal life. Who have you been around? Have you been careful? Like, are you safe? Like, what?
Right.
It's just,
I think, and it's funny too, because it's like the purpose of a date is to like get close to someone, you know what I mean? So it's like, you want to be safe about it, but at the same time, it's like, you still need to have some purpose to the date. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's definitely...
COVID's changed the game from like, do I sleep with someone on the first date to do I get within six feet
right.
of someone on the first date?
Do I give them a hug goodbye or not?
Yeah, I know. And that's, oh my gosh, guys, I miss hugs so much. I was just thinking about that last night, about how much I miss hugs. But honestly, part of what I was getting ready to say before I got distracted by myself was like part of, I think a first date in general is just seeing like, do you have that physical chemistry, you know, that like intangible chemistry, like when you touch or like hold hands or whatever, and you can't really explore that now because of COVID. It's so weird.
I don't know though. To your credit, I do think as long as you're going through the necessary precautions of like having been tested and like having quarantined and been at least like semi-isolated, I don't know. Like you said, Jared and I are both super lucky because we don't necessarily have to be going on dates during these times. which it just, you know, as much flack as like the self-isolation type stuff gets, I kind of like it because I just don't really like being around people at all. So this has kind of been like more of like a kickstart to be like, ah, you just keep doing what you're doing. You know, don't worry about being around people. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's like you still have to be safe, but you are not going to just like forego every instinct you have on a date. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just got to do the best you can. That's what everybody's trying to do. You wear your mask, you stay social distance. Like everybody just has to try to do the best they can because, you know, people are rightfully so. Of course, everybody's putting the health of the public first, but like, holy crap, at some point, like for you, Angela, what are you supposed to just never go on a date with someone?
That's
for
what I mean.
A year and
like,
a half?
I'm not trying to, no, I can't. I can't do that. And you know what's so crazy though is I honestly did not go into a restaurant from March shut down to September. I literally didn't even do takeout until probably July. Holy I was like, your girl cooks. All right.
Oh, you cook. Oh my God. That's already a nice little checklist you got there.
Right.
You
anybody listening? wifey status.
To our 13 listeners.
To the 13 people listening who are probably all girls.
Yeah, Angela, something tells me you don't have any issues trying to get guys sliding into your DMs. So, all right, I want to talk about the two guys. All right, we don't have to say their names. We don't have to talk specifics, but I got to know, like, is there a difference between the two guys? Do you find yourself attracted to some qualities with one person, different qualities with another? What's your, like, ideal guy?
Okay, well, first, hold on.
There's two guys. We're playing this game. This is the road we're going down.
I don't think we need to limit it to just two guys. I think there could be three guys, maybe five guys. I do agree with Angela, though. It's not just two. It could be more.
It could be one. It could be many.
It could be less. For the sake of the conversation.
What did you say?
For the sake of the conversation, let's say it's eight guys. What do these eight guys possess that at least, have you interested to carry on a conversation with them? Like, and what would a ninth guy have to have in order for you to
this
even
is mostly for the guys listening out here who's like, okay,
the
how would I get the attention of someone like Angela? Like, what would I do to stand out in the crowd?
It's all about like, I'm all about genuineness. Like, if you literally try to like slide into my DMs or whatever and you said, hey, I'm not gonna respond. Like, I want like effort is attractive on both ends. I'm not saying just on the guy's part. I am a little bit old school compared to most people in this world right now, like dating wise. So yeah, I want a guy to chase me. I'm a girl. That's just how I've always been. But yeah, I think effort is so attractive and I want someone to be genuine. Like I'm very like very much cut through the BS. I'm not going to cuss. I was going to.
You can say it.
Very much cut through the
knee. Yeah.
Like I don't do games. Like I'm too old for that. I just I don't want to do it.
So if somebody's sliding into your DMs, and this is a conversation for all people out there, don't just say hey. Do something better than hey. We actually talked about this on the podcast last week. There's a dating term. It's called hey and pray, which is somebody just doing exactly what you talked about, throwing a hey out there and just praying they respond. Yeah. I agree with you. Like, put more detail into your introduction.
Yeah. Because like, honestly, what's going to happen probably if somebody would respond to the hey, they're going to say hey back or what's up. It's like, why don't we just cut that like three message thing out and get to the point? You know what I mean? Like, you know, it slide up on a story if you relate to something, you know, like anything.
Ask them what their favorite flavor of ice cream is. That'll elicit a response, perhaps.
Ice cream. I literally just put a story. When was it? I was celebrating my birthday this past weekend in Atlanta, and we went and got ice cream. And I literally was like, ice cream is the key to my heart. It's the key to my heart.
What's
so
your favorite?
Ask me. I'm a chocolate with rainbow sprinkles girl. I'm simple.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Hard, soft?
I like frozen yogurt. So soft is my preference. But you know what? I do mess with some Jenny's almond butter brittle or something. It is next level.
We love Jenny's.
Salt and straw out in LA is good too. Salt and straw is good in LA.
We used to live a block from a Jenny's in Venice, and at least three times a week we would go to Jenny's. It's great. The Brambleberry Crisp is really good. My go-to flavor.
That's weird.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
I love a good coffee flavor. If mm-hmm. I were to like have one flavor for the rest of my life, it'd probably be mint chocolate chip. But you know, I like to try and mix it up a little bit whenever I go out places and try new things. I'll get like one scoop of something I like, and then one scoop of something I've never had before is typically what
That's
I go for.
That's why I like Jenny's. You can do that little mini flight with the three.
Yeah.
Have you done that? That I recommend.
I have not done that. But so when Jenny's first came to Venice, they had this like little punch card system that whenever you got a scoop, you would punch the card, and 8 scoops, you would get a free pint. And we would often, we'd go there like 3 times a week. And so every week we had like 3 pints of Jenny's ice cream in our fridge all the time.
No way.
I put on a lot of weight during that era. But Jared, what's your favorite flavor?
All right,
I can see you being like, you're like a vanilla guy, I feel like.
I am a vanilla guy. Dean just called you a basic B, Jared.
Dude, I don't understand the prejudice against vanilla ice cream. It's so good. Yes, it's plain, it's basic, but it's consistent. It's great. You can put any toppings on there and everything goes with it. There's something about vanilla that's so underrated to me, and everybody just hates on it. And I feel like I have to
It never
defend.
Lets you down.
It never lets me down. Good. My favorite, though, my go-to whenever I go is the chocolate / vanilla twist soft serve in a cone. Mm-hmm. Good. It's just it's effective. It's consistent. If it's not broke, don't try to fix
waffle
it.
Or
love it every time.
Cone. Like waffle or sugar cone is the real question.
Waffle. Oh, always waffle.
For soft serve.
Waffle.
Yeah. Waffle, right?
You don't get soft serve in a cone. You get a soft serve in a bowl.
No, you get it in a cone.
Like Froyo? Like soft serve frozen yogurt?
No.
You can.
Like, I mean, you can if you want, but no. Like if I
oh,
an ice
I
cream
see the machine. Yeah, yeah. Then you
serve.
Do sugar cone. Yep.
Exactly. And you put it
I
right
see what
in
you're
there.
Saying.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I will say two points that I want to make real quick. Jared, to your credit, I do think that there's a reason that vanilla has been around since the dawn of time. It's because it does have, you know, mass appeal. It's kind of like topping agnostic. You can kind of put whatever you want onto it. And then to Angela's, what she said earlier too, being a Froyo girl, I also am a Froyo girl. And my favorite frozen yogurt flavor is the vanilla of frozen yogurt, which is just plain tart. I love plain tart. It's my absolute favorite because, as Jared likes, you can put any topping you want on it, like the cheesecake crumbles, all those
things. You know, there's few things that I enjoy more than the fact that Dean just said on the podcast, topping agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. I like that we're just introducing new terms every week. So, Angela, we have so much more to get to with you, if I said that correctly.
Yeah, nice.
And there's a lot of things I want to talk about, including your time on Bachelor, including a previous relationship, if you don't mind discussing that a little bit. And of course, Crystal Nielsen is now pregnant. You're good friends with her. I really want to talk about that with you. But before we get into all that, let's take a quick break.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We still have Angela Maska here.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and everybody's busting my balls about how Jerry can't pronounce names.
Amaskwa, that's what I said, isn't it?
I think you forgot the
Play the tape.
I think
Play
you
the tape
a lot
back.
Of things in there.
I'm certain I said that. Anyways, Jared, Angela, like Jared said before we took the break, we want to jump into a little bit more about Angela's life. On the show, you know, she met Crystal, and Crystal had just recently announced her pregnancy. Angela, we know, dated Clay in the most recent season of Bachelor in Paradise. We saw a little bit about that relationship because what we knew about it before, it was all off camera. And now we finally got a little bit of taste of it on this most recent Paradise, which feels like forever ago. I don't know about you guys, but Paradise season 6 feels like a lifetime ago.
It really does.
Like 8 years ago. Like Crystal and Chris's wedding? Holy crap.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a second. So, Angela, you're close with Crystal. Obviously, Chris and Crystal got married last season on Paradise. And now Crystal is announcing her pregnancy with, obviously, Crystal and Chris got divorced. So now Crystal is dating someone else. And now she's pregnant with their child. Have you talked to Crystal about that at all?
So I talked to Crystal on the last time I talked to Crystal on the phone was, I think, the beginning of September. And I knew that, so she's been like very, I respect this. She's been very, I guess, not, I don't say guarded, but you know, she wasn't even like, I'm friends with her and I knew that she was like with somebody, but that's all I knew. I was like, that's fine. I was like, I don't need to know details as long as you're happy. But she just like, I didn't even know. So I was finding out all of this with the rest of the world. I mean, I knew that she was with somebody and that she was happy, but I didn't know his name. I didn't know anything about it. And, you know, sometimes you just have to keep things for yourself until mm-hmm. you're ready. So I totally respected that. But I mean, as long as she's happy, I'm happy. And she seems pretty dang excited. So I think it's a cool time for her. And
it's definitely
a great mom.
It's definitely something too that's like it's a sensitive topic. So it's like, I mean, I don't think any of us have ever really had to deal with it, but it's like, it's probably something that you kind of keep close to your chest for as long as you can until like the seal is broken and then everyone knows all of a sudden. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also people forget that we are normal people too. And it's, you know, we just have our life kind of more exposed than everybody else. And it's the whole like putting people on social media and relationships and this and that. It's like a sensitive topic because, you know, if it doesn't work out, then you kind of have to like explain everything, you know? So I get it. I totally get why, you know, she wanted to kind of keep that close to her. And like I said, I respect that. I'm just happy that she's happy. So
totally. It's weird coming from a Bachelor franchise. We're lucky that Dean and I, again, not to like twist the knife, Angela, but we're lucky the fact that we're in relationships with other people from the franchise, because it is this weird dynamic. If you date someone who's not a part of the franchise, you have to kind of be like, all right, well, it's kind of weird because as soon as like we post about it, people are going to talk about us being in a relationship and it's just going to add this extra pressure.
Yeah.
It's a weird dynamic. So, you know, best of luck of that. I'm sure you'll be fine. I'm sure you'll be great.
There was a story, a story that I've experienced, obviously, well before Kaylin came into the picture. I was dating a girl who was not part of Bachelor Nation or what anything like that. We had been dating for a few months. And I remember she made a comment about not wanting to like publicly talk about our relationship because of like the attention that it would bring to her, kind of thing. Like not like in a bad way or anything like that, but like she just like was a very private person. Mm-hmm. And that was my first real experience of like, oh, like, yeah, I guess I would never think of that. It's such a silly thing to think about, like sharing your relationship with just like your friends, but then even on like the outer, like outside of that as well, then like other people that you don't know are going to start looking into the relationship and the other person that has never really experienced.
People are going to be talking about it on Reddit, on Facebook, like talking about like, you know, oh, this person is too old for this person, or this person is out of this person's league. And like, it's tough. I remember the first time being on the show and you know, your name gets released. And then I remember my local, it was the Providence Journal, posted this article online, was like, there's a Bachelor contestant from Rhode Island. His name is Jared. He is a restaurant manager. Any information you have on him, please send to this email.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh Jesus.
My gosh.
Well, not like bad information, but they were like, we just want to know more about who this person is that's from Rhode Island that's going to be on The Bachelor. But I was like, Jesus, like, that's terrifying. And then seeing all of, like, my friends talk about me without me being a part of the conversation. And when I say friends, like people from high school I haven't talked to in years, and just it was like this weird dynamic that now we're all accustomed to.
Right.
And so it's weird bringing someone into a relationship and getting them prepped up to be like, people are going to start talking about you, you know, and making judgments about you. So just kind of get ready for that. And I apologize for it, but there's nothing you can do.
Yeah. I've also honestly though, like been on the other end of it though. Like I was dating this guy for a while, and I think it was more of like, I would never post us or like do a story or like whatever, and he'd be like, oh, you should post us, like blah blah, and I was just like, you know, it kind of just like caught me off guard. Yeah, it kind of just like caught me off guard. But honestly, I think it was more like, I think he thought I was trying to hide us, but it was more like I was trying to protect us because I know what comes with it. And like, honestly, I just wasn't trying to do that because I knew, like you said, there would be articles written and this and that. And like, it wasn't like 100% like official, you know what I mean? So I was just like, it's not that I'm trying to hide you. And that kind of caused like a thing between us, actually.
Yeah. Dina and I talked about this on the podcast last week about how social media has really changed the dating game. Because even if, you know, you're not someone from the franchise, you know, but you still have social media and you still have your friends and family that you connect with both on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and so on and so forth, that it's weird, you know, to be in a relationship and not post about it on social media, because then it causes insecurities in the relationship. Why are you not posting about me? Are you trying to hide something? You know, why is your Facebook profile mm-hmm. still say single on there? There's so much added pressure that has, you know, been infected into the dating world from social media. But it's crazy.
To amplify that even more, too, it's like being single and hosting a dating podcast, extra brutal, because you... I don't know. It was just that there was a time where every time I hosted this podcast when I was single with Jared or Vanessa or whoever it was, I would like get anxious because I was like, well, I'm dating people, but I don't know like if I should be sharing that. I don't know what to say. I don't know what they want me to say. I don't know what I want to say.
You don't know who's listening.
It's a messy situation. It was like Dean was constantly getting thrown under the bus. Be like, poor guys going on first dates. And we're like, all right, talk about it to thousands of people on air now. We want to know how'd it go.
To dozens of people, Jared.
Yeah, sorry, to 13 to people.
Our 13 listeners. I totally forgot about that.
Angela,
I did want to talk about, because we did mention, for my thoughts on Crystal, just because I want to say this, because I'm friends with Chris and Crystal. Obviously, you know, I'm friends with Chris. It's a tough situation he's going through. I'll be there for him as a friend. But I think the most important thing out of this entire situation is that Crystal's happy. She, you know, she's bringing a baby into this world. And for me, that takes precedent over everything, you know, because you never want to have any type of negativity towards someone who's going to soon be a parent. It's all good things. It's all good things for Crystal. It's a great thing that she's pregnant. It's a great thing that she's happy. And I think for me, that's the most important thing. And that's not to shade Chris. He's still a good friend. I did want to talk about their wedding last year because I was there and you had a moment. Now, everybody knows that you dated Clay. I think it was off the show, right? You guys started dating off the show.
Yeah,
you,
we never dated on the show. Your entire relationship was off the show. Yeah.
So weird. You guys just felt like somebody that met on Paradise, because you guys were like, quote unquote, a bachelor couple.
Well, he was supposed to come on the first season that I was on. So we would have probably ended up together anyway.
Together. And then you had this moment because you were in Crystal's wedding party where... there was, you know, some back and forth between you and Clay before the show aired, and Clay was there down in Paradise and he was with somebody else. I think it was Nicole at the time. And you walked down the aisle and Clay was right there, and you, first of all, looked stunning. And you had this look like you one eyebrow was raised and you had this strut going down. Oh, and you just had this look, a fierce look on your face, and you were strutting your stuff. And it appeared to everybody at the wedding that you slowed down just a little bit while walking past Clay to make sure he got a good look. And as you did that, Ashley was like grabbing my shoulder, like hitting me. As if like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is amazing.
I love Ashley.
She's the best. I ask, were you putting a little bit extra strut down that aisle?
All right. I've said it a million times and I will say it again. I swear to you on everything, I did not do that on purpose. And this is why. Remember earlier, I said, I am a model, okay? So whenever you put me in front of the MF runway, your girl is just goes into autopilot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I honestly, whenever we were waiting to walk down the aisle, I honestly started like blacking out because there was just like, it was so much, all the, you know, producers and like everybody was just like all this pressure. And I was like, oh my, I just didn't want to effing fall first off, because I knew. And like, I knew that like everybody was waiting for this moment. And I was just trying not to think about it because I didn't want to make it about me. You know, it's Chris and Crystal's wedding. I did not want to make it about me. And so I honestly, like, that's just how I walk down a runway. Like, if we were all together right now, I'd do this shit again. Like, I swear to you, like, I'm such a, as soon as I found out that Clay stepped foot in Paradise, I literally like lost all feeling, emotion towards him. I honestly did. It was like the best thing that ever happened to me, because I struggled with the breakup because of all all the mess or whatever. That's a whole nother story. But like, mm-hmm. as soon as I found out that he actually like went, I was like, nah, I'm out. Like, I'm good. Like, you know what I mean? And I just was doing me. So I yeah. really, honestly, truly, like, I didn't mean to do the FU walk. It just turned out that way.
It was the greatest moment in my life.
I'm so happy I could provide that for you.
Ashley actually just walked into the room. So Angela's on the podcast right now. And we're talking about the FU walk down the aisle, even though it was not intentional, and how you were grabbing my shoulder, like hitting me in the chest, because you're like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
And Jared like didn't get, like, this was such a woman moment. And he did not get how exhilarating it was for me. When I was listening to this conversation upstairs, though, I thought that Jared was talking about you, Dean, walking down our aisle. Because, I mean, you also had a lot of swag in that moment.
Did he have a moment?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all,
let's talk about Dean's moment.
When Dean walked down the aisle, because let's just put a spade a spade. Dean's probably one of the best looking guys you're ever going to meet in your entire life. And he looked like perfection at our wedding. His hair was like the length of mine, but completely shaved. You stole the show, which was totally fine by me.
No,
you guys, my friend who walked down the aisle with him had been married for about a year at that point, but like, she did not remember.
She would have given up everything.
Name.
The marriage, the house, the future, all for one night with Dean.
You guys are too much for me right now.
To her husband, threesome.
And Dean, I think Dean, you were the and Dean, you were the first one to walk down the aisle, I think, right?
Yeah, maybe. Unlike Angela said she wasn't trying to make Chris and Crystal's wedding about her, I was trying to make Jared Nash's wedding about me.
He said he's trying to make it the wedding about him. Yeah. I think you were the first one to walk down the aisle, because I remember the doors opening, because I walked in, the doors were closed behind me, obviously, and then the doors opened and you were there. And I was like, this is a good way to start off the wedding.
Did angels just sing? Like, oh.
You guys, we got to stop. We got to stop this nonsense.
Not to quote Mission Impossible 2, but there's a scene where Tom Cruise like walks past a doorway and like pigeons are flying behind him and it's all slowed down and the music swells up. That was the moment when the doors opened up and Dean was standing there. Somehow, a pigeon flew behind him. There was a nice halo around his head.
I really appreciate the ego boost. I really do. It's very kind of you guys.
It was so good.
All right. Well, so Angela's saying that she didn't do that intentionally. And honestly, I believe you. I don't think there's any reason.
I really promise.
Of course I believe you.
Well, okay. So you said the breakup was another story. And I mean, I know, you know, we got to at least just kind of touch on that a little bit. So let's talk. Let's have the story. Let's hear it.
It was just... I'll just talk briefly about it. It was just one of those things where, I said it on the show a couple of days before he broke up with me. He literally was like, looked me in the eye and was like, what do you think our babies are going to look like? And then a couple of days later, he breaks up with me. And we had like planned this whole life out together, blah, 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 da, da. And I was just like, and he just said like, he was just in a really like messed up spot in his life. And like, he just needed to figure himself out. And I understood where he was coming from with that. So I respected that. Mm-hmm. And he was, and then like after, you know, obviously communication didn't stop right away. And he was just saying like, I could never picture anybody else as my wife. I just need to figure out my life and like all of this stuff. And then he, like a couple weeks later, you go on a show to get engaged to somebody else, but you're, you know, I was
dang.
Just like, okay,
it really was,
right.
It was really that quick of a turnaround.
It was probably like a month, 2 months max.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, you have to go to casting weeks prior to actual film. Yeah. I was like, all right, I see you. All right, I see you.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm sorry about that. I think that's a lesson for everybody out there. If you have any doubts in a relationship, don't talk about future plans or kids or marriage. Just be communication. I know it's like, you know, we beat this thing to death all the time, but it's such an important key of a relationship. Make sure you guys are on the same page, because then stuff like this happens where you lead someone on and then there's different expectations in the relationship and then people get hurt.
I have like no ill will towards Clay at all. Like, I hope that he has like a great life or whatever, but honestly, like, I'm so thankful that God pulled me out of that situation, just because like, looking back, I was just like, ooh, like, you know, so I'm glad it all, again, like everything fell into place how it should, like everything. I'm such a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. And like, I think Clay obviously learned his lesson in all of that, is not, you know, be a better communicator and like, you know, all of that. So again, like, I don't wish him any ill will at all, but I'm just so thankful that, like, you know,
it happened how it did. Yeah.
It did. There you go. Thanks, Dean.
Yeah. Dean and I were waiting on bated breath to be like, I wonder what she's going to say next.
I got you, girl. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, we don't want to be a dead horse, but we appreciate being candid and open and honest with us. Yeah. I mean, breakups are never easy, especially it's like, I mean, how often in your life are you going to have to talk about your breakup multiple times to multiple different people? It's just like, at this point, I'm sure you're just kind of like, whatever, it happened, it's over, let's move on with our lives. Because
yeah,
that's kind of how, after every single breakup, you're like, yeah, I get it, it sucked, now let's figure out what we're gonna do next. And it sounds like you have, because like you said, you have what, 8 guys that you're dating on a regular basis?
We're gonna narrow it down so to 4 bad. By the time this podcast is over.
Wait, should we do like a virtual bachelorette? No, I'm just kidding.
I would love nothing more. That would be awesome.
We can have an ice cream date.
Ice cream, froyo, soft serve, all the dates.
We could do a fashion runway walk-off. I mean, come on, guys.
We could even do the first 12 are virtual dates, and then the next 8 get 12 feet away from you, and then the next 4 get 8 feet away from you, and then your final 2 get within 6 feet of you. And then we have to choose who's going to actually be able to
smooch me
to give you elbows.
The elbow,
great move right there. So we have much more coming up with Angela as well. I want to ask you, there's one date that you talk about that I have to know the story. Some guy had a reservation at a restaurant and put down Batman as his name. I want to talk more about that, because that's, while ridiculous, also awesome as a Batman fan myself. It's a move I wish I pulled.
I forgot about that.
Oh, well, we're going to bring it back on the podcast. We have an email and dating terms to get to. And then before we go to break, I just want to ask you one thing, because I think it's a travesty. And I want Nick to come on the podcast and discuss what went through his head with this decision. I didn't know you were eliminated week 1 of his season.
Sure was. Night 1. Not week 1, night 1.
Like, I thought, when thinking back, I was like, oh yeah, Angela, she was like top 8. Week 1? We have to get Nick on this podcast and ask him, what the hell was he thinking? That's ridiculous. It's true. We have more coming up with Angela, but first let's take a quick break. All right, we're back. So, Angela, I did want to ask you about this guy who, this was one of your worst date memories, apparently, and he put down Batman as the name under the reservation. What the hell was that about?
Okay, yeah, this was a while ago, like years ago. I actually forgot about it. But it was like a first date. So I think it kind of just caught me off guard, and I was excited to go on a date with this guy, and I was like serious about it or whatever. And then we get to the restaurant and he's like, Batman. And I was just like, what? Like, it just caught me off guard.
So he went to the host stand. The hostess said, what's the name under the reservation? And he, with a dead straight face, said, Batman.
Yes. And I think I was just shook, and I was just like, oh, like, are you not serious about that? Like, I think it just kind of like hit me the wrong way. And honestly, like I said, it was years ago. So I was, you know, like, I was just more like, oh my gosh, yes, the first date. I mean, I was like, probably, I think I was still in college or maybe a year out of college. I mean, it was a long time ago.
How old was this guy?
He was probably like a year or two. No, I think he was like 3 years, 2 or 3 years older than me. So that's what I think. It was just like a little, like, I love having fun and being goofy. Like, I'm such a goofy person, but I think there's like that. I think that was just like the wrong moment. It was like a first date. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know what are you for real? Like, you really think you're Batman? Are you trying to
be
But like, you know what I mean? It was just a weird,
I think my only issue with something like that is I kind of side-eyed it a little bit too, especially because like, it's funny and it's harmless, don't get me wrong, but it kind of like makes the hostess's job a little bit more challenging than it needs to be too. You know what I mean?
It was just an awkward moment. It was awkward.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, and follow
first dates
me,
are already awkward.
Batman.
Yeah.
Like, you're making her uncomfortable.
Your table's ready, yeah, Batman.
Yeah, and it was just like, first dates are already, like, have an awkwardness to them. So I was just like, okay, I don't know. I just didn't know how to take them. But that's not, like, my worst date story.
Give us a more recent and maybe a worst dating story.
I think my worst dating story was I was on a date with this guy. It was like a setup, and he was a good bit older than me, actually. And we went to get ice cream after the date because I am nice. And we were sitting on this like couch side by side. So it was more like a hangout, coffee, ice cream place, whatever. And out of nowhere, he is like sitting beside me, and he just like takes my hair and like sniffs it. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like,
yeah, that's a major red okay. flag right there.
Oh, it gets better. It gets better. Wait,
I think you meant it gets worse.
Well, yeah. I can't make this up, like, honestly. And he was just like, oh, your hair smells so good. And I was like, thanks, like, whatever. And then I tried to, like, rush out of there. The next day, this is burned in my brain. The next day, he texted me, word for word, Angela, I can't get your scent out of my nostrils. I think you shot something up my nose. I was like, oh my god, I'm about to get murdered by this man, like my scent,
yeah,
like
sounds
I'm an
like
animal.
Patrick Bateman.
I was so yeah, it Batman is nothing in comparison to this.
He's a poet, like, he's a romantic.
Yeah, you needed Batman to come save the day.
Your scent is burned to the hairs in my nostril.
I was just like, who says that? Like, yeah, I get it, he was trying to be nice and be like, oh, you smell good, like I'm thinking about you probably, but bro, like, reword that or something.
For the record, Angela, I do think you probably have the best hair of anyone to ever go on any of the Bachelor shows.
Well, thank you. That's so nice. It's thank you.
Very, what would the...
Voluminous.
Voluminous. Thank you.
Voluminous.
Yeah. Yes. I was like, what
well,
am I,
I think
going
it's just
because
I've never done anything to it. Like, I've never colored it. I've never highlighted it. It's just super healthy.
It just gets sniffed every once in a while, but that's not really going to, like, deteriorate the quality of it at all.
There you go. He knows.
Yeah, a couple sniffs never hurt some hair.
Yeah.
Jared, what's your worst dating story? I don't think we've ever talked about that.
My worst dating story? Well, I went on a date with one time. So my pet peeve is how people treat their people that serve them.
That's
waiters,
one of mine as well.
Bartenders. Just because I worked in the hospitality industry for so long, it makes all the difference in the world.
It says a lot about someone's character, too.
I agree. Absolutely. Whether you make eye contact, when you say thank you, please, you know, you're an active listener. So anyway, so I went to this date one time. I met this girl in New York, and she just got a little drunk, and so it was kind of just a pretty bad date. And then anyway, so when the waiter first came over, he was like introducing himself, and she interrupted him and said, I'll take a pomegranate martini, and didn't even look at him when she said it. She just was looking down at the table. He was doing his whole spiel and then interrupted him halfway to order a pomegranate martini. And I was like, all right, never mind. This is definitely not going to work out. And then she went on to order like three more. And then, of course, she picked the place, and it was like this very expensive steakhouse. And I was going to pay because I just like paying for the first dates. I'm not saying
you're a gentleman.
Yes, but I'm also not against people splitting first dates. I think it's a case by case basis. But for me personally, I like paying for the first date. So, of course, like, I had a horrible date. She orders three pomegranate martinis, and we go to the steakhouse, and she got like a $50 steak. So it cost me like $250, and I was like, what the hell am I doing with my life? I gotta get the hell out of here. I hate New York City. So anyway, that was like my worst date story.
That's definitely the worst too, when you know there's not going to be a second date, and the first date was like, you went big on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't pick the restaurant, she did,
right?
So I was like, son of a bitch.
And that was pre influencer Jared too, so money was probably a little harder to come
by.
Oh
my god, I was like, I gotta pick up another shift this week.
What about you, Dean? What's your worst story?
What's my worst dating story? Well, I was probably, I think I was in Mexico. We were at a restaurant. I went on a date with this girl who was on a Colton season of The Bachelor. And man, there was no conversation.
She better be standing right there.
I was like, wait, you had me for one second. I was like, wait, what?
It was bad. We jumped into a pool, and she, like, I don't know. It was.
She told me I lived a pretty cool life.
I think she puked in the bathroom at one point because she had a couple too many margaritas. Or it could have been the steak quesadillas. I don't know exactly.
Steak quesadillas get you every time, I'll tell you.
I can't think of my worst dating story. I think the first thing that comes to mind for whatever reason is a long, long time ago, I was on a date with a girl that I met on like Bumble or something like that. And it was very clear on the date that she had been dating a lot of other guys from Bumble because she kept mixing them up. And like asking me questions that other guys like pertain to other guys, it was like very obvious. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I would like answer the question, and then like maybe like 30 minutes later, she would like ask me the same question again. Like she clearly wasn't paying attention as well.
And
it was just that was like it, I don't like again. It was one day. I don't really even remember the girl's name. Obviously, there was never a second date because there was just no chemistry there. But that was one of the worst ones I think I could say I've been on.
Nothing. You still texted us and said
that question.
Oh, yeah. Worst date? They're the best stories.
I know.
Easton just texted us because we were talking about reservation names. And Easton said, I've definitely made a reservation once for Schwarzenegger, Party of Two.
but was it so you could get a reservation with the name, or was it funny?
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
I'll explain if you'll allow me. It was at the Space Needle in Seattle, and I was thinking, because I called, and I was like, yeah, the name's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it'll be for two. And I was hoping that they'd think I was like his assistant. And then when I get there, they'd have a nice table for him. It'd be too late to change it once they saw it wasn't actually him. So I go to check in, and you know, some other staff came out to see who showed up for it, and they were all disappointed. And my girlfriend was very annoyed. So it did not work.
Did they give you a good table?
I did not get a good table. It did not work.
So they're obviously not Terminator fans up there.
Exactly. Very disappointing.
They're not fans of Kindergarten Cop up at the Space Needle.
Oh, I forgot about that movie.
It's like that. Do you guys remember that old Michael Jordan commercial? It wasn't Michael Jordan, the basketball player, but it was like just some random guy named Michael Jordan, and he would always like make reservations, and like the people at the restaurant always like poke out to see who it was, and they'd always be like super disappointed.
This happened to me one time when I first started working at Carrabba's Italian Grill in 2009. I was hosting, and somebody called, and they didn't call. I was looking at the reservation list. It was a Saturday night. We were packed, and I looked at one name, and it said Tom Brady for two people.
No way.
Like, I swear to God. So this was 2009, so it wasn't like completely out of the realm of possibility that Brady could go to a Carrabba's in Rhode Island. Because, you know, if he lives in the Gillette area, we're only a half hour away, maybe he likes Carrabba's. Who the hell knows? So I was like, there's no way. So everybody's like freaking out because it's like Tom Brady, especially if your name is Tom Brady and you live in New England, like you should change your name immediately. So of course, this poor guy comes walking in and he's like, it's under Brady, Party of Two. And everybody was like,
a collective sigh.
Follow me to your table, you asshole.
Oh,
I know, poor
guy. Just a random guy.
And that's like the Michael. Every time I hear about the Michael Jordan commercial, I think about that guy. Because especially living in New England, like anywhere he goes, my name's Tom Brady.
You know that man disappoints people on the regular. That man lives with that on his soul every day.
Oh, the poor guy. So we have an email, and I want to get to a dating trend. So I guess we'll do the email first before we wrap up the podcast. This comes, I won't say her name, but she DM'd us on Instagram. Once again, if you're not following our Instagram account, please go follow us. It is Help I Suck at Dating. I post Dean's face on there constantly, so it's great content. So our emailer says, I have a question for the podcast. Is it healthy to unfollow your ex when you're in a new relationship? My ex and I didn't end on bad terms. He's a great guy, but he was ready for a lot more of a commitment than I was ready for at the time. I hurt him pretty badly when we broke up, and we honestly were still on and off for several years afterwards. He expressed that he still had feelings for me pretty close to the time my current boyfriend and I started dating, so I thought it would make me more comfortable to unfollow him, and I noticed that when I unfollowed him, he also unfollowed me as well. I don't have negative feelings towards him, and I am completely moved on, but I honestly just don't want to hurt him more than I already have. I didn't want me posting about my new relationship on social media to make him feel worse. What are your opinions? Should I have unfollowed him, or should I have just kept the status quo?
I think Angela should handle this one first.
All right, here's my thoughts. I think this is what I'm just going to go off of what I would do. I think to start off after a breakup, I think it's best to mute the person. So you don't see their stuff. You're not tempted to look at their stories instead of just instantly unfollowing them. Because sometimes right after you break up, you know, there's a chance you guys get back together and then it's so awkward. And honestly, like for me, I know this isn't for most people, but like it's stupid, but people look to see who we follow and unfollow, you know what I'm saying? So it's just easier to just mute somebody if you're not sure. And then I would say after a certain period of time, like, okay, now I'm starting to date somebody, I think it's appropriate to unfollow that person, even if it didn't end badly, just because what she was saying is like, you don't want that person, you don't want to shove it in someone's face. You know, it's harder for some people. It's always harder on one person, the breakup. Very rarely is a breakup completely even and the people feel exactly the same. That's great if that happens, but that's not normal, I would say. So I would do the mute for the first little bit. And then after, whenever you feel appropriate, a month, couple of weeks, couple of months, whatever, then unfollow. Because honestly, if you guys aren't together, I don't really see a point in like getting updates about that person's life. So I would start with the mute and then graduate to the unfollow. It's my way.
Nice. I like that. I think that's appropriate. I personally would disagree just because I like to rip the band-aid off. I would just go straight for the unfollow, but the mute is definitely like it's like an easier letdown. You know what I mean? So I think I think that's like the more appropriate way. But personally, I just say rip the band-aid off and just go straight to the unfollow. Because it's like you said, I mean, you don't want to be seeing what they're doing on a regular basis. You don't necessarily care you don't care for them to see what you're doing on a regular basis, especially once you start like posting with your new significant other. It just is going to like lead to harsh feelings. So that's why I say just rip it off. But I do agree the mute is a little bit more like civil of sorts, you know, like it does, because there is like a little bit of a sting that when you look at someone's profile and you see who they're following and they're no longer following you, you're kind of like, oh, that's a little bit
when
hurtful,
I also so. When you were saying like the more civil thing, I also don't ever want, and I'm not saying that you are like this for doing that, but like I don't want anybody to think I'm being like petty. That's why I was like, if we break up, that like 2 seconds later I'm unfollowing you, like I just, you know what I mean, I don't want anyone to think that, because it's like
true,
like him, you know, I don't want to hurt that person even more if I was the one who hurt him. So that's why I was like, all right, let me just gradually, you know, take it down notch by notch.
Yeah, true. This one's tough. I feel like people need to, as harsh as this is gonna sound, I think people need to take accountability for their own feelings. And so like, if you are in a new relationship and you do want to move on, I kind of agree with Dean. I think it's probably best to rip off the band-aid, as horrible as that sounds, but in the long run, it's probably going to be the best for both of you, instead of like trying to show that you care. And it's because, like you said, Angela, it's always worse for one person in a relationship, and it really sucks. But no, I don't blame this particular emailer for unfollowing this person. If you know, they don't want to hurt them and they want to move on with their life, I think that's probably the best course of action. And so, like, being on the other side of it, I went through a bad breakup where I wasn't over the person and I just blocked them on Facebook for quite some time because I couldn't help myself but look every time I was on Facebook, to the point where even when I blocked them, I would constantly unblock them and then look at their profile and then block them again. And it's this constant cycle. And so at one point I deleted Facebook and got off Facebook. And that was good because then people noticed I wasn't on Facebook. So then it became like this thing where I couldn't go on Facebook. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like, because I didn't want them to see me back on Facebook because they already knew that I deleted my Facebook, and I deleted my Facebook for this one specific reason. So they knew if I was back on Facebook, I was back on there to look at my ex. So it was like this thing. So that, so that actually helped me, because then I was like, no, I can't go back on because people know that I'm not on Facebook and I kind of want to keep it that way. So I don't know.
Yeah, it held yourself accountable.
Exactly. So like people just need to do what's best for them.
Did you guys ever have the app where it would show you who unfollowed you on Instagram and stuff like that?
Is that a real thing, Mel?
Yeah, I keep seeing ads for this.
It only kind of makes sense to me if you have only like your friends follow you, you know, like before we were on the show. But I mean, I admit I had the app. It was always like a curiosity within me to like see who was unfollowing me.
It's a real thing then.
It's a real thing. I can assure you it is. And I had it for a while. Because as Angela was saying, there's like a certain level of like, I don't know, like pettiness where you're like, oh, like why did this person unfollow me? And it's not like an ex or anything. It's just like random people.
Yeah.
And again, it's like people that aren't in your life anymore. So you can like totally understand why they would unfollow you. But there's like still just a little like, you know, you just kind of want to know.
You're like,
yeah, it's a little bit of a sting.
I'm
right.
I'm not important enough for you to follow me.
You just you don't like my like content that? Enough, bro. Yeah.
You could have reached out anytime. I'm here.
Jared, what's your dating term of the week for us?
All right, so I got two because the first one is pretty self-explanatory, but I still want to talk about it. So my first dating term, so Angela, we do this every week where we introduce new dating terms. I'm trying to get Easton to get some sort of like sound buzzer to make this more fun, but you know, God forbid.
Yeah,
we can make our own sound buzzer.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Dating terms. I don't know what the hell that was. So we have two this week. The first one, so like I said, I asked the question, what does this dating term mean? Everybody gives their own explanation, and then I tell you what it actually is. So the first one, like I said, pretty self-explanatory. The dating term 2020 we're introducing today is half-night stand. Half-night stand.
Hmm.
Dean, what do you think it is?
I think a half-night stand, it's pretty obvious that what it is you meet someone, you go to their place, you hook up, and then you go home from there. Rather than staying the night and leaving in the morning, you just leave that night and don't sleep over. That's my guess. Angela?
That's what I was going to guess. Fun fact, I will broadcast this since only 13 people listen. I've never had a one-night stand in my life, ever.
Wow.
That's good. Congratulations.
I have not. I know. So I was like, I don't know. That whole thing just seems super awkward to me. So, I mean, I think if I was going to, I maybe would want to have a half-night stand rather than a one-night stand and just leave right after instead of, like, sleeping and awkwardly waking up and be like, I think if I was going to do that, I would rather do a half night stand than a one night stand.
I want to give a 1B answer too. I think a half night stand might also alternatively be you go over to their house, you stay the night and you wake up in the morning and leave, but you don't go all the way with this person, you only go halfway, so like you make out or something like that. I wanted to have two answers in the
that.
Pot there.
Very interesting. Well, the definition of half-night stand, a single sexual encounter where one person heads back home immediately after sex, typically to avoid inconvenience or awkward small talk in the morning, unlike a one-night stand in which they would typically stay the night. And they use this in a sentence, obviously, because that's amazing. And it goes, I had a half-night stand last night. I really wanted to wake up in my own bed, so I called an Uber as soon as we were done.
Yeah, I agree. If I were to have a one night stand, I would prefer it to be a half night stand.
You so, like, you guys ever watch Jersey Shore?
Yeah, of course.
Back in the day, yeah.
Oh man, so the situation, Mike. First of all, shout out to Mike's situation. He's expecting their first child. Congratulations to Mike and his wife. But Mike, back in the day when I used to watch Jersey Shore, he would do this all the time, and it was so messed up. Like he would bring home a girl after the club. They would go to the smush room, and then he'd walk out, he'd call them a cab, and then he'd go back in the room and be like, hey, like I called you a cab, it should be here in a few minutes, like do you want a water or anything. Like he wouldn't even ask them to stay the night, he would just call them a cab. I was like, oh god, why do I enjoy watching this show?
That's messed up. I was sitting here thinking though, I was like, with a half night stand, do those like start earlier in the night? Then is that like a, you know what I mean? Because who
that's like a 6:30 one night stand.
Like who wants to leave at like 4 a.m.?
We gotta be in bed by 10.
That's dangerous. Yeah.
So the second dating term is fubbing. It's P-H-U-B-B-I-N-G, fubbing. What do we think fubbing is?
Can we get Mark and Easton to weigh in on this one? Because they're usually the ones with the most creative ideas.
I have to recuse myself from this one. We have discussed this on the morning show with Seacrest. I know already what it is.
Rub.
You know, what an honest man. Easton, do you have any idea what fubbing could possibly be?
I think Easton's in the same boat as Mark, right?
I was not listening on the morning show when this was discussed, nice. So I'm good. I don't know what this is. Fubbing,
with a ph.
P h a t.
Oh, so the ph. Oh, that's very that's important.
Yeah, not an f. P h u b b I n g.
Fubbing. Oh my god.
What if it's like you screwed it up? Like, man, I really
I think I know what fubbing is. Easton, if you got something, you can go for it. But I think I got this on the head here.
Okay, I think it's it's when you take a Ziploc bag, you fill it with mayonnaise, you put it between the mattress and the box spring. I don't know what it is.
You were listening this morning. You know exactly what fubbing is.
I don't know what
How
it is.
How the hell do you
I
know
swear.
It was mayonnaise in a Ziploc bag?
All right, here's my take on fubbing. This is what fubbing is in my professional opinion. It is a play off the word phone, PH phone, and flubbing. So it's when you use your phone improperly in dating. So like, let's say the person's really, they're really nice in person, but then when they're, you know, communicating through their phone, they're fubbing it up by messing it up, and they're bad communicators via text. They don't answer their phone. That's fubbing it.
See, I said messing it up. I had a smidge of that.
Yeah.
I like that you smashed those two words together.
Thanks.
All right,
yeah, I'm good at smashing.
I'll go with Dean. I get on Dean's train.
Okay. Easton? Dean. It's not too late to jump on, man.
I'm on board. I'm with Dean.
We're at a fork here, all right, Easton? Which way are you going?
I'm on Team Dean.
Dean, you were so close. I give you all the props because the PH is for the phone.
Okay.
But it's not flubbing that they're rhyming with. It's snubbing. So for fubbing, the definition is snubbing someone you're spending time with by paying more attention to your phone than them. This is also known as apparently sidebarring, and this is how you use it in a sentence. The date was awful. She spent the whole time fubbing me, just scrolling through TikTok and Instagram. Fubbing, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I just make a statement, Jared? I cannot wait until you and Ashley have kids because you're going to be the best storybook reader at nighttime to them just because, like, your expression, like, you're golden.
I already read bedtime stories to Lois, so I
there you go. That's perfect. No, wait, fubbing, that's totally a thing. That's happened to me before.
Yeah. I've definitely been on the other side of the fubbing. I fub people all the time.
Really?
Not like intentionally, you know.
Why does this word sound so dirty?
Yeah, it does. It does. There's just sometimes more interesting things to see on your phone than there are to have in conversation with your friends or whatever, you know.
I've been fubbed by Nick Viall many times.
At lunch. You have to go into a meeting with Nick Viall knowing that you're gonna get fubbed pretty hard.
The fubbing is real with him.
But if you fub him back, you could fub each other, and then it's like no one's getting fubbed at all, you know?
Yeah, but at that point, I'll just
cancels
stay at
out
home.
The fubbing.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That's great. Well, Angela, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. You were such a shine. What am I thinking? You brought so much
such warmth. A bright light.
Bright light.
Oh well, thank you guys. I had so much fun hanging out with you.
No, this was great. So again. Everybody can go follow you on Instagram. Is there anything else you want to plug quickly before we all head out?
So my Instagram is at AngeK7. And then I also have a YouTube channel. So I do, if you like my hair or my makeup or fashion, health, I have recipes, what I eat in a day, all the things that's on my YouTube channel. So you guys can check that out as well.
And that's nice. Just under your name, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it's just Angela Amasqua.
Amasqua. That's right.
So if anybody out there wants to sniff Angela's hair and wants to see more of it, definitely go to YouTube and check out her YouTube channel. I'm kidding. Do not do that. Well, definitely go watch her YouTube channel.
Yes. But don't be creepy.
Don't be creepy. Don't sniff hair. That's creepy.
PSA
all
of the day, kids.
Yeah. Angela, thank you for joining us. Your scent will forever be in our nostrils. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Be
all
sure to tune in next week.
I think we're going to get 14 after today.
Where maybe we'll suck just a little bit less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.